If you in your Bibles, if you'd like to turn with me to 1 Corinthians, no, don't do that, 2 Corinthians and chapter 11. 2 Corinthians and chapter 11. I've come for a rest this morning, so if I doze off, just leave gently, because my four grandchildren have been at home with us over the weekend. Flipping heck, it's chaos. You just get used to, life that's kind of fairly tidy and orderly and things stay in their same place and all that, and then they descend and it's gorgeous. But it is absolute, utter, total chaos, and you trip over things and all that kind of stuff, don't you, John? Good. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'm going to start to read from verse 22. So this is in the middle of a dialogue that Paul is having with the Corinthian church and all their challenges. Verse 22 says, "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false prophets." We can simply say he's been in danger. "I've labored and I've toiled. I've often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst. I've gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressures of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I don't feel weak? Who is led into sin? I don't inwardly burn." Anyone fancy being an apostle? Those of you who have done APES, this stuff wasn't really listed, was it, in the APES description of apostleship? Yes, interesting. Amazing what Paul went through. Flogged 5 times by the Jews, beaten with rods 3 times, stoned, left for dead in Lystra, imprisoned, placed in the stocks in Philippi, under Roman custody for 2 years in Caesarea, under house arrest for 2 years in Rome, and shipwrecked 3 times. And the question I want to ask us this morning, and then that's my context text, if you like. The question I want us to think about this morning is how on earth do you thrive in those kind of situations and circumstances? How do you manage to be fruitful when that lot happens? How do you become an overcomer when problems are that challenging and difficult? It's amazing, incredible, and wonderful when God intervenes in our lives supernaturally, instantly, and miraculously. But there are lots of times when he doesn't. And that's not lack of faith. That's called reading the whole Bible rather than just the bits that we underline, quote, and like. Shipwrecked, stoned, naked, hungry, thirsty, abandoned, imprisoned, all of that lot. How do you thrive in that kind of context, in those circumstances and situations? When I used to live in Cheltenham, we used to go to a charismatic Anglican church at times, often Sunday nights, called Trinity. Really good church, and our kids, particularly as teenagers, absolutely loved it. And they had a gentleman on the team who I thought was fairly elderly. He's about my age. That's a while ago. And he was one of their teaching pastors, and they'd do something quite risky. And they would open up, so the church was, there was probably 700-800 people there on a Sunday night, I suppose. And they'd open it up for testimonies. Anyone who wanted to could stand up and give a testimony. And anybody here who's led a church or a service knows that's a massively risky thing to do. you know, normally we'd proof them first and you know, make sure it was okay. But they didn't do that. They just opened it up for anybody to stand up. And so people did this, and they talked about God intervening in their lives and blessing and miracles and healings and all that, and fantastic stories. And the older guy stood up. Ooh, that nearly whacked her head on the door. Stood up at the end, and he said this. He said, I love all those stories. He said, they were great. But I'd love someone to stand up once and say, life's really difficult and really tough, but God is still with me. Yeah. And we need that. We need that because sometimes you can feel if you don't get a miracle or something, it's almost like you've done something wrong. Or it's almost like maybe God has failed, or the Bible's not true, or any of those kind of possibilities. And the whole point of this today is for us to recognize and realize that God allows challenges and difficulties and obstacles in our lives, that he still turns those things around for good, but the circumstances and situations can be really difficult and challenging when you're in the middle of them. That's the context. The text I actually want to use is in Romans. Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. Romans 12:12 says this, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Now, I have a job this morning, and so do you. I have a job to sow God's word. And your job and your challenge is whether you'll embed it or not. Now, I used to be a secondary school teacher. You know, we were on so many courses every week and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, the days when the Apple Mac was first out, the Mac Classic. And I remember first getting a floppy disk and thinking I'd arrived. I think the storage was 1 megabyte. Wow. I didn't know what to do with it, but it felt precious, you know. Felt incredible. Wow, what a thing. And they sent us on courses to learn word processing and spreadsheets and all this kind of stuff. The course was a complete and utter waste of time unless I worked on those skills, unless I embedded that training into my life. It became part of who I am and the work that I did. God's word's exactly the same. God's word is powerful. It's capable of producing a 30, 60-fold, 100-fold harvest. But it's up to you and I what the quality of soil is that enables that fruit, that seed to flourish. So this morning, your challenge is whether you'll take that this sown word and whether you'll embed it. One of the ways you can embed it is actually writing the thing down because it helps memory. So if you've got a smartphone or a notebook or something, yeah, I'm not bothered whether you remember my words, but I am bothered whether you embed the word of God, because that's how it's fruitful. And there are three things in this text: rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Now, these are not little sort of TikTok pieces of advice. I say TikTok to try and relate to anybody under 30. I've never used TikTok in my life. But so there you go. But they're not pieces of advice. They're not his best idea for today. These are three commands. That's the way the text is written. They're three commands. They are commands given to us by the Holy Spirit through Paul. And the important thing is that when God sends us his word, he does it through a person. He does it through an individual and their experience. And the reason that Paul can write these things is because he's lived it. Flogged, beaten up, shipwrecked, hungry, abandoned, all those kind of things show us the context. And when a man like that, living through those experiences, can say these three things under the guidance and inspiration of the Spirit, it's worth sitting up and listening because he's done it. I say to my kids, and forgive me if this is ageist, it is a bit. I say to my kids, don't go to a church led by a 20-year-old. Because they just don't have enough life experience yet to have lived this stuff. They might know the scripture, they might be able to teach scripture, and that's good and important. But if they haven't lived it out yet, you know, if they haven't had to walk it for 10, 20, 30 years, then I'm a bit worried. Paul has earned the right to speak. Paul has lived the truth out, and it's therefore significant from him as a vessel. So three things. Firstly, rejoice in hope. The New Living Translation says, rejoice in our confident hope. And, you know, I'm sure you know we have to differentiate biblical hope from normal hope. You know, I hope it's going to stop raining, but there ain't much chance of that. Forecast is grotty today, but I hope it'll be really sunny. Yeah, I hope I have a telescope at home. I'm desperate to spot the comet that is out there, and I'm hoping for clear nights, but it's just not happening. Biblical hope, confident hope, is based on a certainty. Your hope is in Jesus Christ. That's a hope you can bank on. It's one you can depend upon. It is a confident hope. Please notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say rejoice in your circumstances. Yeah? We're not, you know, we're not completely cuckoo, going, oh, great, I'm having a really tough time. How wonderful. It doesn't say that. It says rejoice in your confident hope, and that hope is in Jesus. The hope in Jesus is that he is going to bring you on that final day blameless before the Father. He is committed to doing that. And you and I might have struggles and ups and downs, but he says, I'm going to present you faultless and blameless on that day. And he's never quit, he's never made a mistake, and he's never failed. That's your confident hope. Your confident hope is that you have a place in heaven, that you have a place in the family of God, and that is delivered, signed, and sealed. It's done. That's your confident hope. Your confident hope is that he will mature us, that he will cause us to become more like Christ every day through that sanctification process. That is your hope. And Paul says, rejoice in your hope. Rejoice in your confident hope. You see, if you focus on the hope you have in Jesus, that is what enables the joy in your heart and life. If your hope is based on the quality of your job, the size of your house, or the speed of your car, it's going to go wrong. Because those are temporary. They rust, they fall apart, you know, things go wrong. Engine blocks go wrong, don't they, John? They go wrong. If that's where your hope is. But if your hope is in Jesus, that hope can release a joy into your heart. A friend of mine says, what you focus on magnifies. Yeah? What you focus on magnifies. If you focus on all your problems and challenges and all that, they get bigger and bigger and bigger. If you focus on the hope that you have in Jesus, that enlarges, that releases joy into your heart and into your life. Rejoice in hope is his first command. His second command is be patient in tribulation. Now, my mother-in-law, Alice is 93. And I'm still learning tech stuff from Alice. Now, that either tells you something about Alice or it tells you something about me or maybe a bit of both. Well, Alice introduced me the other week to Whoosh. How many people know about Whoosh? Yeah, see, one or two. You're going to gain something this morning, if nothing else. Right? Forgive me for it being an advert. It's an advert for Tesco's. Whoosh is, they will deliver things that are the sort of essentials, milk, bread, you know, cheese, whatever else, essential things, and they will do it really, really quickly. And they promise to do it in less than an hour. Alice's record in Newport Pagnell, clearly the place to live, is 15 minutes. That's pretty good, huh? Pretty good. That's Whoosh from Tesco's. There you go, from my 93-year-old mother-in-law. Who can make the sound for me of the internet connections before broadband? Come on. Yeah. See, that dates you. And me. And then it's gone connecting, trying first time, second time, third time, fourth time. You know, you get through on the fifth time, 2 minutes in, it drops out again. Incredible. And we used to think that was amazing, didn't we? I remember having a new bit of tech when I worked at KT in London. And getting my the guys on my team, and they spent all day trying to connect this thing to the internet, you know, because 10 minutes in and I'm frustrated and I want to throw it out and start again. But we've got so used to things being so rapid, so quick, haven't we? You know, the Wi-Fi stuff now, if you wait more than 2 seconds to get on the internet, you need a new phone or you need a new broadband supplier because it's all so fast. And that's fantastic, but it's not been great in helping to develop our patience. I am reasonably lousy at patience. And Paul says, be patient in tribulation. This is a tough command for many of us. It's a hard thing to do. This is not a passive, you know, sit around and wait. No, this is a picture of endurance. Endure in tribulation. It's recognizing that our Christian walk is a marathon and not a sprint. Now, I have no clue what I'm talking about here because I've never done a marathon, I've never done a half marathon, and I never will do a marathon. However, talking anyway. And you listen to people who've done this stuff and they go, you know, you get to a certain mileage, 20 miles or whatever is, you know, and they go, you feel like giving up, you feel like your body's falling apart and you're really hungry and your muscles are aching and there's pain and you want, but somehow these guys, loads of them, managed to keep going and make the 26 miles. Do you remember watching a while ago the Brownlow brothers? And one of them, it was one of them got near the end, say 100 yards or something from the finish line, and he couldn't go any further. And his brother sacrificed his place in the race and came and put his arm around him, picked him up, and together they crossed the line. That's the message. Endure in tribulation. All right? One of the least quoted promises in the Bible. In this world, you will have trouble. Yeah? Just face up to it. This is reality, okay? You know? Sometimes our danger in church is we can hype stuff up so much that we should be spending 7 days a week walking on the water. Hey, now and again, you're going to go under. You'll come up again, but now and again, you're going to go under and get wet. Endure in tribulation. Tribulation, challenge, difficulty, obstacles, problems is part of life. God uses those things to develop us, to mature us, to develop spiritual muscle. But it's not easy. And we have to make a choice. We have to accept that reality. It doesn't rule out God's miracles because God works in both situations. He works miraculously and he works through process. And at times we have to endure. We have to grit our teeth. We have to get up again at mile 20 and we're going to say, this hurts, but I'm going to keep going. I'm going to endure. I'm going to press on. I'm not going to give up. And every now and again, we need a Brownlow brother to come alongside us, lift us up and say, come on, we can do this together. That's what church is about. That's what community is about. Yeah, it's not this rubbish of people walking on Sunday, you know, how are you? Oh, I'm fine, you're fine. You know, the fake smile, never share a problem, you know, the dog's dead, the cat ran away and you smashed the car up, but I'm fine. What a load of tosh. We need reality, yeah? We need to be supportive and encouraging of each other when life is tough and difficult. Endure in tribulation. Grit your teeth, keep going and endure. The third command in that little text is be constant in prayer. So rejoice in hope. Rejoice in the hope that you have in Jesus. It releases joy into your heart. Secondly, be patient in tribulation. Endure in tribulation. Thirdly, be constant in prayer. That doesn't mean, you know, that you've got to get up at 1 a.m. and pray till 12 o'clock midnight because you've got to be constant in prayer. It doesn't mean you have to quit your job and say, well, all I've got to do all day, God says, is pray. No, the picture here is about faithfulness. Be faithful in prayer, you know. Oh, God didn't answer my prayer and I prayed it 2 minutes ago, so I'm quitting. I'm going to run down the garden, I'm going to eat worms. I'm going to feel sorry for myself. I'm going to, you know, invite myself to my own pity party. We've all done it. Of course we have. Be faithful in prayer. That faithfulness is not based on the quality of your prayer. You know, you don't have to say certain words that unlock the key to God. And he goes, ah, rat bags, they've discovered it. I've got to give them it now. It's not because you shout in tongues long enough or hard enough that God, you know. It's based on God's faithfulness. It's based on the fact that he is good. It's based on the fact that he knows what is best for us. Instant answers aren't the best thing for us always. Those of you with kids, you know that. If you said yes to everything your kids asked for, they'd be in a real mess. And if you haven't learned the word no with your kids yet, start practicing. And you know what? When God answers prayer, you know no is an answer, don't you? Yeah? Sometimes we think, unless he says yes, he hasn't answered. Oh, yes, he has. He just turned you down because it wasn't good for you. Yeah? All our kids would be on, you know, sweeties, you know, all the sugary stuff, or, you know, 24 hours a day if that's what we allowed. They'd never go to bed. If that's what we know, we know better because we're the parents. God knows what is good for you. He knows when it's right to step in miraculously. He knows when it's right to be quiet. He knows when it's right to allow us to come to a point where we need to depend on him and we realize that we are earthen vessels, that we are but dust, and we come to depend on him. He knows. So be faithful in prayer. Come to him with everything. Seek his face. Pray in English, pray in tongues, pray in pain, pray in anger, pray when you don't know what to pray, pray in silence, pray in tears and groans. Pray looking to the Father. And you know, sometimes it's best then, there's mixtures in Scripture. You know, sometimes God tells us to persist and keep praying and praying. Sometimes he tells us to shut up. Because when you stop asking, it's because you trust that he's heard you. Yeah? And that he will answer. And sometimes you pray once and you don't have to have this sort of earthly babbling. Pray, leave it with him, walk away. He'll sort it. He'll answer. He'll come through. Yeah? There are other times when you have to persevere and persist. You know? We like formulae. We like rules. If I do this, God will do that. No, this is relationship. Be faithful, be constant in prayer. So how do we overcome in the challenges, the obstacles, the difficulties, the suffering, the tough stuff of life? How do we do it? We do those three things. We rejoice in hope. We focus on the hope we have in Jesus. That releases joy. We are patient. We endure in times of tribulation, and we are constant or faithful in prayer. Lord, thank you because you want to enable us to be overcomers. You want to produce men, women, young people of maturity and strength, but also men and women that depend on you. And Lord, we see your servant here this morning, Paul. We see him, Lord, enduring and overcoming and maturing and growing. And thank you, Lord, you don't leave us in the dark. You show us how this can happen. Help us, Lord, I pray, Lord, for your word to be embedded and lived out in our lives. In Jesus' name.